I'm here with Tim MacArthur. I'm looking at a flyer that says Sister Mary's Playtime. I'm not going to say much more about that at the moment. It's a great title for a show. And this show's in the Free Fringe. And Fringe Review is finding more and more classy, good quality work in the Free Fringe, which is a real creative hub at Edinburgh Fringe. So tell us about the piece.
Sister Mary's Playtime is hosted by Sister Mary, who's a tap dancing, flapjack making, singing nun from St. Peter's of the Sisters of the Third, who moved in Soho in the heart of London's West End. And she performed in Edinburgh about 11 years ago at the Gilded Balloon, and she's back with a vengeance. She's had an interesting time of taking some time out and working at the convent, and, you know, Mother Superior wasn't happy with her spending too much time in the world of showbiz, full of dirty people, as the Mother Superior says it. So Sister Mary's back doing a chat show, come variety show, come game show. So it should be 50 minutes of lots of fun and audience participation and hopefully general hilarity.
Now, I am going to reveal a bit more, because this flyer is, you know, this is not a thrown together flyer. This is a very polished flyer here, and there's a character on there, and she is dressed as a nun. She's throwing her hands up towards heaven, towards Jesus. So it is comedy, I accept, and there's a chat show here. But at the heart of this is you needing to animate in a genuinely good way a character that you've created. So tell us about how you arrived at this character and how you actually get into the skin of Sister Mary.
So many years ago, as me as a solo performer, Tim MacArthur, I've done quite a lot of cabaret work over the years, from London to the Bazaar Room, Pizza in the Park, German Street, to New York. And when I was asked to do a show at the Bazaar Room, I was thinking I need something fun to open act two. So I was hungover, eating Curly Whirlies and watching The Sound of Music. And I thought, I'll just dress up as a nun and get the audience to do Do Re Mi with me. And then the actor in me went, well, how can you do that? Why would you do that? What is the reason behind dressing up as a nun? So then there was a musical called Nonsense with a song in it called I Just Want to Be a Star. And I thought, well, maybe she could sing that and then do Do Re Mi, and then there's a reason why she's there, because she wants to be a star and she's escaped from the convent. And that's how it all started. And then I did it in the Bazaar Room and it went down really well. And then Penny Horn at German Street Theatre said to me, you should develop this character. She said, I'll give you a week to put a show together and do it at the German Street Theatre, which we did. And then since then, she's done some amazing things. You know, obviously Edinburgh 11 years ago. She spent a month in Cape Town doing the show, which was really interesting, really mixed audience from you know, white South Africans to Muslims to, and, you know, black. It was just an amazing experience, and everyone loved it. And it's been sort of she's changed a lot. She's got a lot more confident, and I think also as an actor, with what I've learned over the years as well, it's going to be interesting her to do her for a month every day. She's full energy.
And you've mentioned German Street Theatre. You've mentioned the word actor. You know, I know you've got that cabaret background, but German Street's a theatre venue. And, you know, it's been said in a couple of interviews I've done today about, you know, character work is about finding the truth. Otherwise, it's not believable. How do you make this kind of crazy comedy character also very truthful enough for people to engage and believe the character?
That's a really interesting question. I think whenever I'm in the costume, I can't speak as me. And it's quite bizarre. It's like having a split personality, because I cannot, you know, I can't answer in my own voice, and it's very difficult for me to do her when I'm normal. But I think it comes back to that original thing as being an actor and training as an actor, and that discipline of going where she is a character. And, you know, some people say, oh, she's drag, and she's not drag. And, you know, people have said it's like very Mrs. Merton, a little bit like Mrs. Brown from Mrs. Brown Boys. You know, it's very character driven. I remember in the early days when I started, a couple of reviews said it was like watching the early days of Dame Edna. And also, me as an actor, Tim MacArthur, for the past 8 years, I've done Dame in panto. And to me, that's very much a man in a frock, pretending, you know.
Yes.
But then having the mother relationship with whatever son there is and whatever panto is. So I think with Sister Mary, it's very much about, it's an actor's approach, very much. And it is... And I think now, because I've been performing her for quite a long time, as soon as the habit's on, I just know her mannerisms or her expressions. And in some ways, I think she's a bit more cleverer than I am, which is really weird.
And so is that an act of surrender of you fully to the character, or is that you still pulling the strings from some distant place?
I think it's surrendering to her, really, because she is so domineering. And I've noticed that people behave very differently to her. People can't say no to her, which is amazing. And whether that's in people's psyche about nuns and whether they were brought up by nuns, or religion and what power that has over people. You know, I've got friends who are brought up by nuns, and whenever they see Sister Mary out, they won't have a conversation with me. They'll have a conversation with Sister Mary. I mean, even my producers, Barry Ryan and David Walton from Free At Last TV, have said to me when Sister Mary's there, they behave in a completely different way because they... I don't know. It's really odd. It's really, as a human analyst, I wouldn't know what to make of it, really. But it's quite bonkers. I just hope at the end of the month that I'm still completely sane.
And also, over all the fringes I've been to, I've sort of noticed that some people really talk about when they grew up, there was a dressing up box. And other people have grown up with no dressing up box ever. Others have grown up with no stories told to them, you know, bedtime stories. You gave a hint when you said, you know, once I got into the costume. Do you find your characters, you know, by dressing up?
Yeah, I mean, it's... I didn't have a dressing up box as a kid. I remember one year my the Calgio Fall was on, and I used to do New Year's Day concerts for the family. And I think I was about 12 or 13, and my brother actually made me a frock out of... some curtains and a bit of net curtains, and I did an extract from the Calgio Fall as a Cajal, you know. But I've never really... I think whenever I create characters, they always come from a real place. And they can be completely random.
Yeah, but there's a nun's outfit here.
Yeah, there is a nun's outfit. And she also wears tap shoes.
Right.
You know, which so you hear her before you see her.
In terms of also creating a character and being an actor, and the word script kind of often goes with actor, not always, but then there's also a chat show kind of format here, which hints at improv. How do you find that balance in the show between this is what I'm here to deliver, and actually I'm not going to deliver this because this is what's coming to me from the audience?
I think there is an element of... She has her set material that she knows, and her back history and her backstory and her interaction stuff, phrases that she'll have with the audience. But the interview is very much, I would say, a conversation with the guests. And, you know, she does a bit of research, and she'll have key things that she'll know about the artist. But there is a lot of improv around it, because... You know, you have to listen to what the person says to you. You know, as an interview, because someone will say something really interesting, and they'll go, "Oh, that's interesting," rather than what your preconception of the interview is going to be. And there is a certain amount of improv, which we were just having a conversation with some friends, actually. As an actor, I hate improvisation. So whenever I go to acting classes and it starts off and they go, right, two people in the room, I'm always the one right near the door thinking, don't pick me. So it's interesting that having a character to do improvisation, I think, is a completely different ballgame.
It is, but when I look at this and the way you talk about it, is you could have penned this tightly as a solo character piece that was funny. But you've chosen, and, you know, in the spirit of the free fringe too, is to unhinge it a bit and allow yourself to improvise. So are you putting yourself through something?
Yeah, I think I might be. I mean, about 18 months ago, well, 2 years ago, the Cockpit Theatre asked Sister Mary to host a variety show, which was a real interesting experience, because she was the host, and then the artists would come on and they would perform, and then she'd chat to them. So I think, yeah, there is... It's when I was here, when she was here before, there was an element of it was just a show all about her life, where I think now she doesn't need to do that because she's there,
yeah.
If that makes sense.
And also, I mean, again, I'm trying to take clues from the flyer and what some of the critics said before, is I have a sense that you've created a character that, to use the favourite word on the fringe of the last couple of years, is relatable. Isn't freakish, but actually is very relatable.
Yeah, completely. She is, and she's a force of nature. And I think people generally do like her. I mean, the interesting thing is, I do in the past I've done a sing along show tune show for kids, where you know the kids will all come and she'll sing Disney songs, and it was fascinating when I first started it, because the mums and dads would come up to me at the end and go, "I'm having a 50th birthday party next week. Do you think Sister Mary could come and perform?" And I go, "I'm sure she could. What would you like?" And they'd say, "Exactly what you did this morning for the kids." You know, because she doesn't swear. There's no vulgarity. There's quite a lot of innuendo, but it all comes from an innocent place. And her inexperience of living outside in the world, but also her desperation for wanting to be involved in show business.
And in terms of playing a character around lunchtime for 3 weeks non-stop, this character that you've admitted you surrender to, you know, almost danger is, you know, could you ever get out? But you can. In those minutes, those hours, in the run-up to 1:15 p.m., how do you turn from Tim to Sister Mary?
I haven't performed her for a length of time, like a long run for a while. So I'm already aware. I've been here. I arrived yesterday in Edinburgh, and I've already started eating healthy and just looking after myself a little bit, because she's so full energy, and I have to be really on the ball to make sure that she is as sharp and as witty and fun. At the end of the day, the show called Sister Mary's Playtime. Yeah. It's not Chekhov. It's not Beckett. You know, it's not taking itself seriously. And I hope that there'll be something in the show that the audience will find engaging.
So it's not deep-fried Mars bar and chips while you're up here, but what is in that run-up? So do you start talking like her? Do you have a warm-up routine? How are you going to arrive on the stage, you know, as that believable character?
Yeah, I have to do quite a big vocal warm-up, because she's got a higher register. Her placement is higher than how I speak. So I just generally sort of do my normal vocal warm-up. And then once... She tends to arrive once she wears red lipstick and glasses. And normally once the glasses come on, she's arrived. I'll always say, "She's coming," as I'm getting ready. And then she'll say, "She's here, dear." Do you know what I mean? And then we're off. As soon as it's... And I it's funny, because I cannot be me when I'm in the habit. It's the most bizarre thing, and people think it's slightly nuts. But, you know, all my mates will talk to Sister Mary when they see her. Sister Mary, they never go, "Hello, Tim." You know, they always, you know... And she's quite cheeky. She's a bit of a flirt sometimes.
Now,
but innocently.
I'm not asking you to be her now, but what does Sister Mary think of Tim?
She finds him very difficult. And whenever they've shared a bill together, she always makes him wait outside the dressing room and always says there's a terrible whiff of pear drops.
Mm. And finally, with 3,000 shows plus here at The Fringe, and without this being a PR opportunity, but more, you know, you as a theatre maker with an audience to come and see this, what's your invitation for people to come and see Sister Mary? Sister Mary's Playtime.
All I would say, I want people to come and play and meet some interesting guests that she's going to have on the show, that hopefully they might see something that they like, that they'll then go and see that performer in their show. But it's going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's playtime.
Tim, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you very much.